Blog Talk Radio.
I think that we can play it from here. Like, 1 second. And people have to shoot for it. I'll talk to them.
Good morning, 8/11/17. It's the 11th day of August, and have a lot of news out there, of course, including a possible nuclear war with North Korea. That'll get your attention. We do have a lot of other stuff to attend to, but first, we have a special guest in the studio today, Casey Counts. And
hi, Kelly. Good morning.
The legend of Mesilla Valley.
Right. Well, how are you?
Fantastic.
It's nice to be here with you.
It's wonderful. I've always dreamed of this day.
Of course, normally I'm on the air over on our sister station, 101 Gold, so being in the darkness of morning.
As Frank Sinatra might put it.
On a regular day. But I wanted to come on today to talk about something that you have addressed with listeners, and that is a format change here on KOBE. So as you can imagine, since then, there's a lot of questions coming in and obviously a lot of concern, and I just wanted to come on and kind of tell everybody what the plan is. The last thing we want to do is make it a surprise, which is normally how these things happen. Nobody knows until the day it happens, including somebody like you, who's on the air on that station. And as a person who's been in radio for 25 years, I've been through it too. So it can be, it can come as a shock that way. And that's not how we wanted it to happen. We wanted our listeners to be prepared for it so that they could find other options and just have some time to kind of let it sink in.
Is this what they do at the euthanasia clinics?
No, Kelly.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't know about any euthanasia clinics, except maybe, you know, in Oregon, right?
Right.
But I, more than that, I just kind of wanted to be here and explain kind of the reasoning behind it, which I believe you've also done.
Yes.
And talk about kind of the difference between, because I think one of the questions on a lot of people's mind is, you know, if listenership is strong, and it is, you know, why this decision? Well, the fact of the matter is that, you know, advertising dollars don't always follow listenership. And over the period of, you know, going on 10 years now, that's one of those things that just hasn't been the case. Even though we have a strong, healthy listenership, you know, the station just on its own isn't profitable.
Right.
So you have to go and kind of look for something else to do. And the bottom line is that in our market, you know, there has been, in our own town, there has been a dearth of Spanish programming. And we have a lot of regional and national advertisers asking for it. So on the one hand, we have people saying, no, we don't feel that this is a great place for our message to be shared. And there are multiple reasons for that. And on the other hand, we have folks saying, hey, give me some Spanish programming to put my message on.
Sure.
So what it comes down to, and I just really want everybody to understand that it is completely a business decision, you know, for the overall health of Bravo Mike Communications to move forward and be profitable and healthy.
And one thing to put out there is that there was, from what I understand from talking to you and some other people, there's money set aside for the market if there was Spanish broadcasting.
Basically, yes.
Yeah. So that, which is different. There's no money set aside in this market for, even though it's the greatest thing in history, the spoken word, and it started everything off according to the good book, the word, we don't have any money set aside for that.
That's right. And I think one of the factors there too is national dollars and even regional dollars are going to Rush Limbaugh and they're going to Sean Hannity and Michael Savage in other ways. And so they don't come here locally.
Yeah. So, but, and there's transitions right now in the radio industry. If you do some study and you look at iHeartRadio, if you look at Cumulus, there is enormous debt in the industry. And there's always change in this industry, but especially now there is an incredible amount of debt out there. And I don't know how a lot of stations are going to make it.
Well, that's a whole different topic, I think. You know, when you look at those massive companies, you know, years ago after some deregulation in the industry, they went around and bought up a whole bunch of properties and then had to figure out how to pay for them. We're not in that situation.
No, but what I'm saying is that there is a lot of, I think there's a lot of fear in the industry in general, the changes between tertiary stations and in online and what people are interested in and everything.
Terrestrial stations?
Yeah. So I said tertiary. I'll have to look that word up. But anyway, there's always transitions in media, but especially now, I think, in radio.
And I think right now what people are asking, and I'm getting calls, you know, and I've talked to a lot of KOBE listeners, you know, from in my office on the phone about a number of different things, including what their, you know, what their favorite programming is and just all kinds of things. And now, thanks to you having kind of softened the blow, if you will, people are asking, well, how do I get, you know, my programming now? And so there's a couple of ways, and there's more ways than ever, as you mentioned, with the digital age. So a lot of people are able to receive and listen to the station out of El Paso at 690 a.m. Some people aren't able to do that. And what I'm recommending is that, because all of our main hosts have fabulous websites where they stream their shows, and those are great ways. And that's a way for you to go on and, you know, kind of pick and choose. Because I talk to people all the time who love Hannity and don't so much care for Savage. So this is an opportunity for you to go listen and pick and choose your favorite hosts and listen. And, of course, one of the barriers is, well, you know, I don't have a computer even. And that's kind of one of those things that at that point there's, you know, what can I say? Get a bigger antenna?
Yeah. So I'm planning on doing this show through Blog Talk Radio as I've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years. Anyway, and so we'll try to keep that going. But, you know, it is a disappointment to people.
I know that. A huge one. And so, and it always is. It's no matter what format it is.
Yes.
Each one has its fans and its loyal listeners. And one of the things we want to do is say thank you for being there. And we wish that that it had translated into more advertising dollars for a healthy signal here, but that's the bottom line.
And we did talk about that too, to a large extent, that with all the enthusiasm, still not the investment.
And going, you know, along the way, you know, we've always believed that this is a great place to share your message. But, you know, there are a lot of factors that are beyond our control. For example, the controversial nature of programming, mainly that comes in the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Not while you're on. Of course, I know you avoid controversy.
Always.
But sometimes people feel like that the controversial statements do tend to, you know, run off advertisers for a while. I mean, there's some famous Rush moments And that does happen. And so sometimes, you know, a lot of folks feel like they want to avoid programming.
Right.
That's one of the factors.
One of them, no doubt. So anyway, the date of the switch.
So that's coming up in just a little more than a couple of weeks, I guess, with the start of the new month. So that, yes, we do have a timeline now. That will be flipping the format to basically a top 40 Spanish pop format, which will be wonderful.
Yeah, can't wait.
Shakira and Enrique Iglesias and a lot of great artists. But yeah, that's it. And I wanted to make myself available. As you can imagine, there are a lot of people who want to call and talk about it. And in many cases, it's people who want to call and just express their feelings about it. And I try to spend a little bit of time on the phone every day. I will tell you that it gets a little bit overwhelming, and I won't necessarily be able to accommodate everyone that way. But, you know, a great way to do it is to send us email. That is one way, you know, you can kind of unload and send all your thoughts, and you will get a reply from me or someone in the company.
The reply says this email address does not exist.
All right, what are you saying? That's not true, is it? But yeah, you can go to the website, or I can give you mine personally, kccounts@bravomike.com, and you can always feel free to it's kccounts@bravomike, and that's BRAVOMIC.
I do want to mention one thing that I think people might be curious about, because sometimes people think there's a conspiracy afoot. There's nobody in the building who has ever said, let's get rid of talk radio.
Let me know. Absolutely not. One of the things that is true, that over time, Kelly, if the station goes off the air for whatever reason, say, especially during Coast to Coast at night, that's a good one. There are people who think that it's us doing it on purpose.
Yes.
That has never been the case. We would not want to have our programming off air. You know, this company is made up just like any other, with people who come from different backgrounds. It's a mix of political opinions and ideas, and that's what's healthy. And as far as the management is concerned, you know, if it's helping the bottom line and helping us, you know, keep local people on the air and more local programming on the air, then it's right. The listenership and healthy income. And we talk about stuff like that all the time.
We have to, because it's a business.
And I'll tell you, we have, you know, in our sales department, we have some fans of this programming who say, I can do better with Spanish. I'm not making that up. At least two in the sales department will choose to listen to this type of programming all day long.
Right.
And yet still feel that they'd be better off, you know, selling Spanish.
We are on the border.
We are. We are. And we have a healthy Spanish speaking and bilingual population here that has definitely been underserved locally. A lot of times people will say, well, there's Spanish all over the dial. You know, there's a lot of Spanish signals that'll come in to your radio from different places.
Yes.
But they're not coming from Las Cruces. And that's kind of the big difference.
The scary thing is when they're coming from outer space. But 523-1450, 523-1450, if you want to call in and express your sentiments or ask Casey or myself a question. But, I mean, what I tried to tell people from the very beginning, Casey, and you're aware of this, is it's a business. And if the business does not make some profit, then the business is either gets changed or goes away.
And I know that that's one thing that the listeners of KOBE can understand and relate to.
Because we're capitalists.
Right. Absolutely.
Happy capitalists. So, and who knows what the future holds, but, you know, it is possible another station would pick up talk radio in town.
You never know what will happen. You know, that's not something that we have heard anything about at this point. And but sure, it is possible. And we'll just have to wait and see. But, you know, in the meantime, I would I would look at your favorite host websites, and you can find them if you don't know their official site by a quick Google search. I was just on Rush's website yesterday, and it's very user-friendly and makes it really easy.
It is. It does take a little contribution. I think it's $49 a year or whatever, but for the spelling-challenged R-U-S-H, Rush.
Spelling-challenged Rush?
Yeah. Well, for people that don't know, not sure how to... How to spell his name.
Spelling Rush for the spelling challenge.
Yes,
I see.
It.
Okay,
that's
I got you. Limbaugh is actually harder to spell
than
Rush.
Harder to spell, yeah.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Well, no. I'm
Can
just,
you spell Limbaugh?
No. I need a lifeline.
L-I-M-B-A-U-G-H.
Thanks for the lifeline.
Anytime.
So just people that are curious, when did you start over in Bravo Mike?
Oh, about 12 years ago. Uh-huh. Been in radio for – this is my 25th year. In broadcasting.
A young girl like you. And where did you grow up?
I was born and raised in El Paso and went to college in Portales.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I began my radio career at KSEL in Portales, and then worked in Clovis at a station group there on country and classic rock, and then moved back home and worked at a couple of stations in El Paso before settling in up here.
And you guys have been very successful on 101 Gold when Mike and you were on the air, and I think still today it's the number one station.
It is, indeed, yeah. It's been a long run, and we're so very, very fortunate.
Did that go to your head?
No.
Not at all?
No, not at all. You know, I am grateful for the success, and it's one of those things that each time a ratings book comes out, you know, you're happy when it's good, and it's always been good. And with our group stations, we always have, you know, kind of successes and places where we need to do a little more work.
We've changed formats before.
We have. Like I said, you know, we've been through it before as individuals in this business. And so we understand what it's like to feel that disappointment when you have a format that you really believe in and it's just not doing what it needs to be doing. So we make a change.
That's true. Well, we're ready to take a break. Are you going to hang out longer, or are you going to?
Well, Kelly, if anybody wants me to hang out longer, I'd be glad to. I'd love to hear what the doomsday clock is at this point.
5-2-3-14-50. 5-2-3-14-50. I've got some Glenn Campbell for you here, along with your first break.
Are we going to hear Rhinestone Cowboy, or did you pick a different one?
Galveston.
Okay. Oh, Galveston is really one of my favorites.
It is So Jimmy Webb. Is this young phenom, and he's just a teenager. He starts writing songs. His dad's a minister. He grows up in the church playing piano, and he starts getting his songs picked up, and he and Glenn Campbell hook up. They had never met, and he's sending songs off to Glenn, and they're just spectacular success. Jimmy Webb is just one of the greatest songwriters in history. And so Galveston, and by the time I get to Phoenix, and a bunch of other songs that they did together. And so anyway, here we go. Galveston and a tribute to one of the greatest studio musicians in American history with a beautiful voice. And always sounds better live than on record. That's just something that...
Never got to see him live.
Well, I've got him live right here.
Oh, in a manner of speaking.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So 6:23, and delighted to... have KC, one of the most talented people I've ever heard on the radio, and wish it was under better circumstances. It's a bit of a wake.
Thanks, Kelly.
But great to have her in the studio finally. And we'll be just taking a little segue here and be back in just a moment. All right, guys, you heard the grim prognosis. Talk radio in this town is going away. It could come back someday, and the other station's Adams Radio, would be probably wise to consider it, but you know how that kind of thing goes. But there is nothing like the spoken word format, is there? there's just nothing like it. And you can listen to one show a week, and it can radically change your understanding of life and your information and your, you know, I just think that talk radio in a way is kind of a, it's kind of a university. A lot of times you hear stuff on talk radio and you're like, wow, or you hear an idea that is expressed and you think, I never thought of that way. That's exactly true. And I'm going to pass that on. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Roger.
Good morning, Roger. Thank you so much for the call. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
I'm calling about the changeover, and I think some of the reason is the station is poorly managed. One of the hosts said that it's, or the guests said that sometimes it goes off the air during Coast to Coast, but it's gone off so many times in the last 5 years, I can't tell you.
That, you know, so I don't know, Roger, I don't know enough about the tech side of it to stick in your eye, but I'm listening.
About what?
I said I don't know enough about the tech side, you know, the.
But, okay, the tech side is this. The station goes off the air for hours, and I'm wondering if someone is monitoring the station. So I think it's poorly managed, and if I were an advertiser, why would I spend money on your station?
Yeah.
You know, I don't, that should have been investigated before you decided to change over the format.
Well, I mean, obviously, with having a show on the air, I wasn't in favor of the changeover. But,
right.
Roger, I work as an attorney. That's how I make my living. I'm doing this because I believe in it.
It's really disappointing. The last thing we need in this town is a Spanish station. We really need the talk radio. You know, for a conservative to have some outlet, that's being taken away. And I really wonder, you know, what kind of study did this radio station do to determine why its advertising is down? Again, I think it's a very poorly managed enterprise, and that's the reason. I mean, if it goes off for hours on end, and I can't tell you how many times I wanted to call in and complain. I never have until now.
Right.
But just off the air. I mean, if it's a little windy, if there's a rainstorm, it's off. And so it makes me, I really wonder, is someone monitoring the station, and can your guest address that issue?
She's not here, but I can tell you how it works in general on that one, is that somebody has a thing that that goes off when the station goes down. That's the theory. When the signal stops broadcasting, somebody is supposed to get a call or a buzz or something. I don't know exactly the details of how it actually works, but when a station goes off the air, there is technology that sends out some sort of a signal to the engineer, that type of thing.
And okay, if that happens, then how can you explain that being off for 3 or 4 hours?
Well,
and this isn't just at Coast to Coast; it's at other times during the day.
Well,
that long of a time frame, that sounds really unprofessional.
Uh huh. Well, I don't know what to say.
I'm thinking that could be one reason why advertising revenue is down. And I just would like to, you know, they're saying they're switching over, but have they really done a serious investigation as to why advertising revenue is down?
It's never been up is the answer, part of the answer. This station has always been under-advertised.
Okay. I'm just kind of wary when I... you know, about the quality of the station when it's, other stations don't go off the air, but this station does a lot. And so when that happens, it tells me they really don't care about quality. Hence, why would a business want to advertise? And until they investigate that avenue, that end, maybe they should have done that before they decided to switch over.
I hear you. Well, I hear your frustration. I've got to take a break here and go to news. Anything else?
That's all. Thank you.
Thanks, Roger. Understandably upset, Roger. 6:32. I do apologize. The station is changing format. I do apologize. 523-1450. We'll be right back. Here's some local news for you. A little bit of Glenn Campbell live. Well, I'm sure that Roger, when he called in, expressed the frustrations of a lot of people out there. But the fact of the matter is, this station has never really had the advertising support from the community. And, you know, I don't know if people really understand the power of advertising on the radio, because it is, especially a live mention is, you know, it's very intimate. And if you're listening to radio, especially if it's local radio, a lot of times it can feel just like conversation over coffee. But anyway, I'm not, I'm not going to trash the station. Number one, they gave me an opportunity to develop a skill that most people, you know, have an experience most people never have. But number two, you know, if you're here, you see that it is a struggle. This is one of the poorest counties in the nation. If you really wanted to start pointing fingers on why there's not more advertising revenue here, you could point fingers at the, you know, city council, county commission, the kind of decision making that's done. And we have an underperforming economy, and a lot of the people who go through the job application experience here say it is much more difficult than it needs to be. So, all right. Paul Manafort, whose name means strong hand in Italian, is being squeezed by the feds, and they're doing an investigation, and they went to his house to grab computers and documents, and he was running the campaign for Donald Trump at a certain period of time when they were starting to look for delegates. And a very talented guy, obviously. He was involved with the Ukraine years ago and has been a controversial figure. And he is – what they're trying to do in any of these cases is flip somebody, say, you know, we've got all this stuff that we're going to prosecute you on and convict you on, but if you help us out, we'll cut you a deal. So that's what's going on there. He's gotten a new legal team that's focuses on financial prosecution. So, in other news, let me get over to the Drudge Report. We're still talking about having a war with North Korea. What do you think we should do? There is no easy way to handle this. I mean, if you could sneak a SEAL team who was conversing in Korean into North Korea and take this guy out. But, you know, Obama, let me read you a few headlines here. Obama is planning on re-emerging. I wonder what it was about Obama, his experience in life, that he thought that he was so incredible and so important. He, feels like he needs to come back. I mean, he seems deluded, doesn't he? Like he's not really in touch with reality. Emergency declared New Orleans as flood threat looms, city on edge over pumping system. I'll tell you a story about that. We have a call first. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, it's Tom.
Hey, Tom. Good morning. Hope you're well. What's up?
I was thinking the best way to solve the problem in Korea is send a neutron bomb above their city where they're at, or, you know, strategically put it above them and blow it off, and then you got no power.
Have you ever seen a picture, Tom, of Korea, the north and the south, at night?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have
it's black.
I don't know if they have any power to begin with.
Well, whatever they got to launch their missiles or anything like that, unless it's hardened with some sort of anti-radioactive, something to stop the electromagnetic pulse, then they wouldn't be able to use their electronics to, launch missiles against us.
Yeah, that may be true. I don't know. I know these electronic pulse devices really tear things up, but you know, one of the problems is they have all these conventional weapons that are on the border that are aimed towards Seoul that are meant to just destroy everything. and have been putting them in for years. So I don't, you know, I really just really don't think that there is any kind of an easy way to deal with these guys. But I just, what do you predict is going to happen?
Well, I hope we don't have to go and, you know, see a lot of death over there in South Korea and all that because of that, you know, because they're going to launch on them for sure. You know, they're going to use those weapons. They want that part of the country back, I'm sure. But you can see the difference between how the capitalism and their dictatorship works. I mean, look at all the great things South Korea's done with their economy and stuff, with the cars and the cell phones and stuff like that.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now, the famous picture of Korea at night, and from the demilitarized zone downwards, it's just almost totally white, and then up north, it's almost totally black with a little bit of light over Pyongyang or whatever their main city is up there. But that should be a lesson to anybody who's interested in the differences between capitalism and socialism. And especially I've seen videos before people have taken in North Korea, little kids wandering around without shoes on. Like they look like they're 8 years old and they're smoking cigarettes and they're filthy, dirty. And I'm just like, this place is like hell on earth. Tom, I got to take a break. Anything else?
One last thing. Your last day on the air, would you play a montage of Mike and his dogs barking?
I'll have to go back a couple of years. I wonder what happened to Mike. He must have moved out of the area. All right, Tom. I definitely will. Thank you.
Care,
all right. All right. Bye-bye. All right. So what were we talking about? That didn't matter. Here is 16-year-old kid running for governor in Kansas. There are certain things that people are good at a young age, that can be good at a young age. One of them is music. You can be a prodigy. You can come out of the womb playing a fiddle, you know, which I believe they call a breech birth. But the one of the things that people are not great at as kids is being a philosopher, which is leadership is kind of related to that. So, all right, a guy goes on a date with six women in one night, and he's on one date, and then he's has another woman come up to him with this woman and other woman, and it says, here's my friend. And so it goes on and on all night. And now he admits it was a mistake, but he says he's looking for love. 28-year-old man from Washington, D.C., and named Justin. And so all the girls got together and were in a lather, outraged. And he said, it was a mistake, but at the same time, I did it before with seven girls in one night. So you know what? I mean, I just think that this is one of the things that's out there. It used to be that people grew up and were raised in a way to make them habitable or to make them amenable, to train them for the idea of getting married and having a family. And it was considered to be what people did, number one. Number two, it was good for society. Number three, it was a religious expression of sex. And all those ideas are gone now, and you can't help but think or ask yourself, are there a bunch of unfit people out there for marriage? And I'm not married myself. Maybe I'm one of them, but we have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Unbelievable. In your dreams, Kelly O, you're talking BHO deluded? Are you serious? You got the wrong guy. I think you should be concerned about your boy that Cheeto Von Tweedo trumped with.
You know, Frankie, you use so many insults. You turn so many words into insults that people can't understand you. But anyway, what are the great achievements of Obama so we can celebrate them right now?
First off, he was a normal president. That's the only thing I need to say. And the great age of Barack Obamacare. He was a great president, a great president.
So hold on a second. He was normal. I never noticed that. He seemed like a super far to the left. Number two, So Obamacare is so wonderful that they say on the one hand it's failing, on the other hand we got to get rid of it, but it's so bad we can't even get rid of it. I don't understand. I mean, he's got one achievement that it's his health care has cancer.
Of course, you're a right-wing guy. Anything that comes out of a liberal's mouth is the worst thing in the world.
Frankie, when have I ever just treated every idea that you've said as garbage? That's not true. I listen to everything you say. Now, you might say a lot of things that I think are ill-advised, but I don't just dismiss everything you say.
Well, of course, how incredibly insane would that be? But you are a right-wing, dyed-in-the-wool right-wing guy. All you do is listen to Fox News and read off of Breitbart and Drudge dork.
No, I don't even have TV. I don't have time.
How are you getting this stuff? From what you hear about what's on Foul Noise?
Hold on a second. I do the radio, then I go to work 9 to 5, 8 to 5, and then when I get off, I go on the internet and start collecting information. I look for what stories are trending. I look for interesting, stuff that people might find funny or horrifying or whatever, interesting, and put the show together. But, I mean, I'm in touch with what's going on. I just don't have the time to hang around and watch TV all day.
Okay. Everything that you put on your radio, you're one-sided. Everything is on a right-wing tilt. You play clips from Alex Jones, for crying out loud? Are you serious?
So what am I supposed to do, have a left-wing radio show so that one listener can be happy?
No, of course not. Why don't you be fair about it?
I try to be fair. Look, if I wasn't fair, you wouldn't call me up regularly.
No, of course not. I call you because you're the only station around to call.
I know, but I mean, I do treat you with a certain amount of respect, and perhaps some of it's charitable. I consider you mentally an invalid with your ideas, but.
Right back at you, Kelly-O. I tolerate you and I'm polite to you the same degree that you're tolerate and polite to me. What do you think of that?
It's wonderful. I like.
Isn't it? We are bros, baby. Okay, but let me tell you. You get on there and said, that's what caused me to call. You say, because you can't talk about Trump. You got to go right back to Hillary or Barack. Because
Frankie,
let me
respond, since there's only so many minutes in the day. I don't agree with everything that Trump does. I've said that before. I agree with his general sentiments in the direction that he wants to go. I think he's got a lot of great policy ideas. I think on the one hand, they've tried to trip him up since before he went into office. They call him a Hitler. On the other hand, he's got some bad habits, I think, in terms of interacting with people. But I think he's a sound guy with some great ideas. I wish they'd just give him a honeymoon period before they attacked him.
36% approved.
44.
36%.
44. They just did a poll. He's at 44%. I've got to go. I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, you're at 44.
I'll give you the last.
Jones website.
Hey,
sure.
Hey, I'll give you the last word, not a rant. What's your last word?
That 44% is bogus. It comes from Foul Noise or Alex Jones' website.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a good day. All right. We'll take a break here, folks. If you have – I love it when people disagree with me. Just put it into an argument that I can respond to. We'll be right back.
While I watch the cannons flashing, I clean my gun.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, come on. Frankie's right. I mean, you belittle your liberal callers all the time. You call us morons. You call us idiots.
No.
I mean,
no.
You do.
That is not true.
You
what
do.
Are you talking about? I don't denigrate people. I disagree with them. How many times have I called you a moron? Zero.
Well, not me personally, but generally liberals. You have not done that to me personally, but generally when you speak of liberals, earlier this week, I turned the radio on, and one of the first things I heard you say was something about morons, and we were morons. And I thought, God damn, why do I have to listen to this shit? I like him, but You know, that's why I thought Keith would have been great. I mean, you could have had a liberal and a conservative. You guys could have gone back and forth. But if all this is liberal bashing because we don't like your president. He's not my president.
Kathy, you know, Keith didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, okay, I understand. I understand that. I understand.
I mean, if Kathy, if you knew what a sacrifice you make in your personal life to do a show like this, I'm not complaining.
Absolutely, Kelly.
I'm not complaining. Yeah, I don't take vacations. There's nobody to cover for me.
Right. I know. I know. You've done a good job, and I believe it has been a personal sacrifice, especially being a conservative in a liberal county. So, I mean, there's no doubt that you have really laid it out there and taken the crap from everybody and dished it out too. So I've enjoyed the show. I'm sorry to see it go. Anyhow.
Thanks for the call.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
What's up, Jer?
I'm not on the air, am I?
No.
Oh, hey, I got a joke for you. Do you remember old Lorena Bobbitt?
Yes.
I guess she died.
Really?
Died in a car accident. I guess some dick cut her off. but anyway, I listened to, what's her name, Casey?
Yeah.
And it sounds like she's really making a lot of excuses for the for the station. Only because you guys brought up 101 Gold. And I happen to know the sales lady that made that happen because she went after the accounts and got the accounts to make 101 Gold number one. And they still are. But she owns her own business. But it seems like the salespeople are the ones that are responsible for this if they're making excuses, you know. I think you're a good thing, Kelly. I don't know why you're not syndicated by now, you know. You're just as good as anyone out there.
Oh, man,
you know?
That's touching to hear that, man. It's kind of depressing to lose the show, but I really appreciate that. You want to say something on the air? We just got a couple minutes left.
No. That's all. I'm just sad. I'm depressed about it.
Well, you never know what the future holds.
I'll still be able to follow you, Kelly. It's just that it's nice to turn on the local radio and hear you first thing in the morning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wish you would preempt
Glenn
Beck.
We're on the air.
So,
hold on.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Right. I got a couple of phone calls. Kathy didn't appreciate me calling liberals morons, which I don't normally insult people, and I don't. I've never called Kathy a name, but sometimes Frankie will go on an unbelievable rant, and Kathy will call up, and I'll think, well, she's going to finally defend me, and then she'll say, Frankie's 1,000% right, and I'm like, come on. Why is one person conservative and another person is liberal? What is it? You know, and here's the interesting thing. A lot of Christians are conservative, right? I mean, it pretty much goes without saying for a lot of people. But there are some conservatives that hold similar views that are totally atheists, agnostics, you know, which is kind of strange. And almost all truly liberal people tend towards either a very watered down Christianity or atheism. So I find it interesting. And somewhat odd, but, you know, and there's this thing out of the Bible for, speaking of Christians, Esau, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, and I always kind of wondered what that meant. It kind of brings up this idea, are people born with the ideas that they have, the actions that they're going to do later in seed form in their brain, or is it the environment? And experts, I guess, will tell you it's some sort of a combination of both. But it is just kind of strange. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Some commentators will say, well, you know, God's talking about how they acted. But it seems like a commentary on who they were when they were, you know, came fighting out of the womb. But in any event, conservative talk goes on, of talk radio goes on. Let me ask you this, though, Kathy and Frankie. Why is it, if conservatism is so stupid and liberalism is so brilliant, why doesn't it translate into the radio? In other words, when you put it out in the light of day, when you talk about it, when you break it down, why does it seem like liberalism doesn't make it in the spoken word format, but the conservative or the libertarian ideas do? What would be the cause of that? And my analysis would be that conservatism, when you break it down, makes sense in its pieces, but liberalism, when you break it down, really doesn't. You know, it's kind of an aggrievement factory. 6:59, little Glenn Campbell, what an incredible performer, and we're going to miss him greatly. We'll take a little break and be back after the hour starts.
I still see her standing by the water, standing there looking out to sea, and is she waiting there for me on the beach where we used to love? Galveston, oh Galveston, I am so afraid of dying. Before I dry the tears she's crying, before I watch your seabirds flying in the sun at Galveston.
A little news for you. Now, we've talked about the big volcano at Yellowstone, excuse me, and we talked about, I actually had an author come on the show who has written about the super volcano underneath Yellowstone and the danger of it erupting, and now it's been hit, volcano. That area has been hit by 1,500 earthquakes this summer, and they say it's actually deformed the ground, although not huge earthquakes, but the one some up to the 4.5, 4.4, 4.5. But there's a huge caldera, what they call a caldera magma underneath. And if that thing went off, totally went off, you know, there'd be a lot of problem in the United States, and it has done so in the past. Now, experts say there's 1 in 700,000 annual chance of a volcanic eruption at the site, and I believe if you do some study, the previous eruptions have put out an enormous amount of material, so got to keep an eye on that. Now, I have some more what we talked about yesterday, this battle over the difference between men and women. But first, I want to play for you Glenn Campbell discussing and singing with Jimmy Webb, his main writer.
He first hit the charts over 30 years ago. His more famous songs are still in demand, though you can hear people trying to sing them in the karaoke bars very late at night. Everybody can sing them, of course, some better than others, and the voice which made them famous is still going strong. Glenn Campbell starts a tour of New Zealand this weekend. They're starting in Auckland, and he's on the far side of 50, is Glenn Campbell, but he hasn't lost the touch.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload.
By the way, this is from 1991 and from a show in New Zealand.
I hear you singing in the wild, and I can hear you through the wind. And the wicked soul I know, he's still on the line.
Those songs, the famous Glenn Campbell songs, Gentle on My Mind, Witch of the Lineman, Galveston, Rhinestone Cowboy, why were they so popular right around the world, do you think?
I think probably because they were written by Jimmy Webb. They're mainstay type of material. Phoenix is the third most played song of all time on radio in the world. So why? You got me. But I think it's just good material. You know, it's like a Rolls Royce.
What is it about American country music that can put itself in every place around the globe?
I think because overall it's very real. I know when I look for material, I try to look for a song that's that I can relate to well, and in hopes that other people can relate to it also.
Who's Jimmy Webb? I mean, you speak reverently of Jimmy Webb. Who is he?
Well, when Jimmy was 19 years old, Paul, he wrote MacArthur Park, and he wrote Up, Up, and Away, By the Time I Get to Phoenix, Wichita Lineman, Galveston, and The Four Horsemen. That was going to be my next single record in 1980, you know, with that. Anyway, I got even with them. It became a...
Hang on, they wouldn't let you do it.
They wouldn't release it as a single record.
Could you do a bit now?
Oh, yeah. I was a highwayman, along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on the plate. The bastards hung me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive. It's a great song. It was a platinum album with Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson and Chris Christopherson.
One of the things that you hear is that Glenn Campbell can do anything with a guitar. He can do any sound. He can do any chord change inversions. He wanted to be the greatest jazz guitarist when he was a kid, so he just really immersed himself in music. And he doesn't read music, and so everything is intuitive. The facility that he has with the guitars is stunning.
Were you annoyed looking back that you didn't get first go at MacArthur Park?
No, not really. It's a real hard thing, song to sing.
Yes, goes right
up. If it had to do that every night, I do it occasionally in the show. I haven't done it for probably 3 or 4 years now. He wrote a song called No Signs of Age. I can do it for you, Paul.
But you show no signs of age, no signs. Is light through a glass of good wine. The secret of you truly is yours, and faith is the truth. Your beauty endures, and love never dies, will not disengage. But in my memory tonight, you show no signs of age.
These chord progressions are... I still haven't learned the chords on that one yet, but it's poetry.
Did you fall in love with the high life a bit at one point? I mean, you must have been one of the most coasted people in the world apart from...
No, of course not. I think it drove me to drink, so I quit drinking. I'm like Richard Harris. I'm off of the bottle, so to speak, now.
Completely?
Completely.
How did Rhinestone Cowboy come about? How did you get that?
I was doing a tour of Australia, and I listened to I had that song in my ear all the time I was over there. And I knew that's what I was going to record when I got home. And Lord willing, it turned out.
You got back from the head of Capitol, and you wanted to say to him, "You give me that song or something." And he said to you.
He said to me, he said, "Before you say anything," it was Al Corey. He's the old regime at Capitol. He said, "I got a song you got to hear." And I said, "I'll make it number one, Glenn. I love it." He said. And I said, "Okay, let's hear it." And he put on Rhinestone Cowboy. Well, I about fell over.
Musicians, once they start picking, they go off in their own world. Glenn Campbell in New Zealand for some time.
All right, there's a good interview, of course. And then here is a little bit from Charlie Daniels on Glenn Campbell, remembering him.
Glenn Campbell is such an incredible talent. Glenn Campbell filled a niche in American music that very few people have ever reached. He was considered both pop and country. And not just one record or one little phase of his career, but years and years and years of his career. He represented the best of the pop and the country. And he went that kind of middle ground and pulled people in from both sides. He was a great thing for country music and a great thing for pop music. He was an incredibly talented guitar player. And a lot of people have heard Glenn Campbell's playing that don't even realize he was a studio musician in Los Angeles for a lot of years. And he did a lot of work with a lot of artists that we're all very familiar with. But he was a great, had a great God-given talent. We've seen him host television shows. He plays great guitar, and he sings great, and he entertains. So Glenn Campbell's one of the most unique people that's come along in the music business in my lifetime.
Okay, we'll take a little break and come back. And at some point, we're going to get into this issue of men and women. Here's a little live, Glenn, Try a Little Kindness, 715, 716, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, Death Row Radio. The days are ticking off the calendar. It's going to be gone soon. September 1 is the new format, so that should be a Friday. We'll be back.
And if you see your sister falling by the way, well, just stop and say, girl, you're going the wrong way. Cause you've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, if you overlook the blindness of narrow-minded people on their narrow-minded streets.
Here's just a little bit more on Glenn Campbell and Jimmy Webb, their relationship from The View in 2000, the year 2000.
The majority of popular music burns up the charts.
Well, the sound quality on this is terrible. So anyway, we do salute Glenn Campbell, and I don't think would have hit the heights that he did without Jimmy Webb. I mean, Jimmy Webb was, for a kid to come out and write the kind of songs that he did, it's just unprecedented. And here's a little bit of Jimmy Webb, just in case you're curious about him. And he's an older guy now, but when he was having so much success, he was barely out of his teens.
When I wrote Wichita Lineman, I was doing a follow-up for one of the only times in my life as a songwriter. Glenn had called me and said, I need a follow-up for By the Time I Get to Phoenix. Will you write one? And it's one of the few times in my life when I was successful in doing that, because a lot of times I've written follow-ups that either weren't done, or if they were done, maybe they didn't eventually turn out to be the single or whatever. But maybe three times in my life I've written a follow-up that actually followed, that did what it was supposed to. It followed the record and became a hit and got on the radio, and that was one of them.
And just to let you know, it's considered, the Wichita Lineman is considered by some people to be the greatest pop song ever written, just the structure of it. And the ironic thing is that they say that Jimmy Webb never finished the song. When it was sent to Glenn, it was sent as a demo, unfinished, and Glenn went ahead and recorded it. And because it wasn't, there was no more work done onto it, there's something about it that became even more iconic.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another whole road.
So let's get into this issue, Men and Women, the Difference. And first, we got to find out where this controversy comes from. It is from a Google engineer who was fired for daring to say that men and women are different and it affects their work. Here's a little bit of an interview with Stephen Molyneux. I'm just going to play the very beginning of this, but the conversation about what happened, that James Dalmore was fired from Google for saying things that were not politically correct in a little article that he typed up and sent around the company.
Hi, everybody. Stephen Molyneux from Freedom Main Radio. Hope you're doing well. So a lot of times on this show, we talk to people you already know or who have been in the public eye to one degree or another for a substantial amount of time. This conversation is going to be a little bit different. We're going to hear talking to James Dalmore. Now, James is the writer of the memo that has been characterized as critical of diversity, despite the fact that James repeatedly insists he's very pro-diversity, that erupted and over the last couple of days has caused quite a firestorm across the internet, on television, on radio, and so on. And I did a video response to it recently, and after I put out the video response, we found out that James had been fired from Google. So we wanted to talk to James, or I wanted to talk to James, to find out what it's been like and what his thought process were in producing this article, this series of arguments, and what the response has been like, and you know what it's like to be in the very center of one of these highly controversial but absolutely necessary conversations that society needs to have. So, James, I really, really appreciate you taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, your thought process. I know that you had complained in the past to a labor relations board about what was going on in your work environment. But I also know that you've been a researcher at Princeton, at Harvard, at MIT, you've got a master's degree in biological systems and so on. Can you just give us a sense of your intellectual growth towards the memo that was recently, I guess, elevated to a center of the firestorm status?
Yeah, so I guess in general, I just really like understanding things. And recently I've, you know, through interactions with different people, I've noticed just how different political ideologies sort of divide us in many ways. And what I wanted to understand what was behind all of that. And so I read a lot into Jonathan Haidt's work and a lot of like what is actually the philosophy behind all of these things. And that led me to at least the beginning of the document.
And what was it in the writers that you read, Haidt, I think it was, that you found sort of like the illumination moment, the moment of like, aha, this is going to make some of the jigsaw puzzles fit into place?
I guess just I could see that all of us are really blind to the other side. And so in these environments where everyone is just in the same echo chamber, just talking to themselves, then they're totally blind to so many things. And we really need to be talking to each other about these things and you, trying to understand each other.
Because you had a very interesting critique at the beginning, and I, you know, people will link to the full document below, and I'll talk about how shameful it was that so many outlets said, well, we basically, we've edited the document a little bit, and, you know, we've removed some charts, and one of the major media outlets was had removed all of your sources and said, you know, it's curiously unsourced. It's like, come on, you know, you've got to be kidding me. This isn't even close to believable. But you had an interesting critique of the left and the right,
yeah,
neither of which are particularly satisfying for a sort of fleshed-out philosophy of the world. I wonder if you could go over that sort of briefly and give people your thoughts on the strengths and weaknesses you see of these two political paradigms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess some of the easiest ways of understanding, say, the left is it's very open, it's looking for changes, and while the right is more closed and wants more stability. And there's definitely advantages to both of those. Sometimes there are things that you need to change, but you also need a vision for what you actually want. And there's a lot of value, for example, in tradition, but not all traditions should be how they are, you know?
And yeah, I sort of get a sense, like, you know, sort of ancient classical Chinese civilization that was like the same year after year, century after century, sometimes it seemed like millennia after millennia, versus really, really chaotic times like the 1960s, where there seems to be like a real pedal to the metal kind of gas acceleration of change to the point where people can't even keep up and cultures can't adapt to it.
Yeah. And I what I found also very interesting was that these create biases for ourselves. And so this is particularly interesting when we talk about how it relates to reality. And so both sides are biased in certain ways, and they have motivated reasoning to see what they want out of a lot of things. And so this happens a lot in social sciences where it's 95% leaning to the left. And so they only study what they want, and they only see the types of things that they want, and they really aren't that critical of their own research as much as they should. And you can go.
No, go ahead. I'll hold my thought.
So the popular conception is just that, you know, the right doesn't understand science at all, and it's anti-science. And it's true that they often deny evolution and climate science, or climate change, but the left also has its own things that it denies. So biological differences between people, in this case, you know, sex differences.
What was it that you saw? So you started in Google at 2013 and just sort of geek to geek. I wanted to get a sense of how you'd gotten so much into computers, how you learned.
All right. So this is a very long interview. We have to take a break here. But that guy's a smart guy. You know what I find disturbing is that you've got somebody who is thinking and trying to come up with an explanation of reality. And he's a sincere person. He's not malicious. He says the wrong thing. He gets canned. It's just sickening. There's no freedom of thought out there in the left. Morons. A little tip of the hat there to Kathy and Frankie. We'll be right back. 7:33, we'll be right back.
I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the wire. and the Wichita lineman. He's still on the line.
It's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. You know, I agree with that guy. You know, I've heard the left on CNN arguing that he shouldn't have been fired. He's entitled to his opinion. He's entitled to his research. And in fact, it ought to be looked at and considered.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not blindly left. I'm willing to look at differences. And this guy's got valid arguments. He's a smart guy, and he should not have been fired.
Well, that's why you listen to this show. You like to hear both sides.
I do, and I'm going to miss this show. I am truly going to miss this show. I just hate it. Can't you go to another radio station and find a talk show? Is there no more talk radio in Las Cruces?
No more talk radio. And, you know, I contacted Adams one time just to see who was over there and to have a conversation. And I was supposed to get together for lunch, or it kind of fell through, but nobody's ever contacted me from over there. And the two smallest stations there don't have the same listenership as this station. So it seems like a no-brainer to turn it into talk, one of them into talk radio, but maybe I'll give them a call today and see what their plans are.
God, do it. This city needs a talk radio information channel that gets local and national input. I mean,
I agree.
Are you still playing at the cafe over there?
I'll try to get some place to play before I leave the air. Just because I mean, it was. It's like nothing else, you know. It's like playing golf or whatever. It's just something totally different than everything else I was doing. I don't golf, by the way, but you know what I'm saying, playing basketball or whatever.
Reason I went to Cafe Agogo is because you talked about it, and it's a great little restaurant. I can't believe they didn't keep advertising on your show.
Well, yeah. Well, there's always a story behind everything, but.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Anyhow, I'm going to miss this show. I'm going to miss you, even if you are conservative and a Trump fan. I'm still going to miss you. Okay.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Gabby. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Trump approval back to 45%, Frankie. Frankie, I guess this is probably true of all of us, but we tend to gather in information that agrees with what we already believe, cognitive biases, confirmation bias. But I mean, the hatred towards Trump, why? And I was thinking about this. Yeah, he's kind of, you know, Trump is kind of excessive in some ways, right? I mean, number one, he's a billionaire. Number two, he's got this reality show or this TV show that was very popular, so he's been out there for a long time. Number three, he's very opinionated. But, you know, up until he ran for office, he was never really that conservative. And he is probably, in his instincts, still somewhat, you know, liberal. So why is he hated so much? And I think he's hated so much, it's because he's an existential threat. He is the kind of person who's totally unafraid to make decisions, to be criticized, and to go after bad things. And what is liberalism but a collection of bad ideas, you know, with all due respect. All right, Jordan Peterson on why gender differences are biological. Are we Mr. Potato Head dolls and Mrs. Potato Head dolls? You just remove the external parts? Or is there a difference between men and women?
The clearest distinctions between men and women that's emerged in the scientific literature is the difference between male and female patterns of interest. Women are much more oriented towards people-related careers than men on average, and men are much more oriented towards thing-oriented careers. Part of this is a reflection of what appear to be innate differences in interest. You can see them in chimpanzees, for example, and in the more egalitarian societies like the Scandinavian countries, the interest gaps are larger rather than smaller. The clear hypothesis for cultural conditioning, which is that as you make your societies more egalitarian, the size of the differences between men and women shrink. That is not what's happened.
The more egalitarian the society becomes, the larger the gender differences become. There's either a cultural difference or a biological difference, or there's a third factor that no one's identified. Those are the options you've got. You have to also admit that if we would go back 20 years and we would make a prediction from the cultural perspective, we would say, as we move towards equality in law, equality in opportunity, and equality in outcome, the gender differences disappear because they're cultural artifacts. That's exactly the opposite of what's happened. One thing I would like to have happen is that I would like people to stop talking about pure cultural production of gender differences. It's absolute nonsense. Whatever in the world gender equality might be seems to me also to be allowing people the maximum degree of free choice that's commensurate with a civilized society. And the choices could easily be radically different between men and women. The evidence seems to suggest that that would be the case, but I wouldn't say that we have, you know, heard the last word on it.
All right, how about a little more Peterson, huh? Here is On Gender Differences. Jordan Peterson is a psychologist from Canada, and he's been on an amazing growth streak. He stood up against the idea that we have to modify our language in terms of gender and transgender and all this business. And he's got some incredible videos out there. Here's one on gender differences. Oh, and we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell's show. Who's this?
Okay, before you get so excited about this 45%, this was done by pollster James Zogby, who is noted to be have a reputation among other pollsters as questionable. Matter of fact, Nate Silver of the great 538 Kelly O, a real polling place, considers Zogby the worst pollster in the world. So take your 45% and take a hike. What do you think of that?
I think that you're committing the fallacy that's known as consider the source. It's you dismiss things based on where they come from rather on an analysis of the facts at hand.
What?
Yeah.
You're saying how great it is he got the 45%. And the pollster who did it is questionable.
Well, I'm just telling you it's a fallacy that you're using. You may or may not want to accept that.
I don't accept it.
All right. Okay, so are men and women different?
Oh, for sure. You better believe it. I love the fact that women look like they do. That's very exciting to me.
Caitlyn Jenner felt the same way.
Well, this is just like a kook. It's like this guy that looks like the like a walking real life. A Ken doll?
Yeah.
Mean, come on, people do stupid things. That's why they're conservative. They like to do stupid things.
The guy, right? Look, the guy is not conservative. He decided to change how he looked. He can't even breathe through his nose anymore. He's had 11 surgeries on his nose. It's the size of a button. I mean, come on. That's nothing to do with conservatism.
You're talking Michael Jackson's nose?
Yeah. Michael Jackson's removable nose. He was a Mr. Potato Head.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about your guy, Kendall Jenner guy, whatever his name is. He's a conservative. He's a transgender conservative.
There's nothing conservative about being a tranny, in my humble opinion.
Well, they are out there, including log cabin Republicans. What do you think of that?
I think Mrs. Butterworth would be shocked.
Hey, that was pretty funny, Kelly. That was a good one.
Thank you.
That was the sadliest thing you've said just all week. That was pretty quick, Kelly. You're really on the spot.
I'm working on it. Thank you, Frankie. Anything else?
All right. No, that's it. I'll see you later, guys.
Have a good weekend. All right. Okay, folks, let's get back to this. Gender differences. And dare I say, Jordan Peterson. Get onto YouTube and look up Jordan Peterson. He's got some brilliant stuff.
There's a huge stress in the humanities and modern universities on the idea that gender differences are cultural in nature and can be eradicated by cultural transformation. But the evidence seems to suggest that the only way you could eradicate them by cultural transformation would be by working very, very hard against the biological substrate. And you got to wonder if you really want a society to do that. You know, like, what kind of society do you want? Do you want a society where everyone is allowed to be who they are, so to speak, and to be successful at that? Or do you want a society that does everything it can to make people the same, regardless of their individual, you know, of the individual differences that are intrinsic to them? It is by no means obvious that that's what you want. So you'd have to do some pretty wicked social engineering to eradicate these differences. And it looks like the social engineering that you'd have to do would run counter to egalitarianism, right? Because since egalitarianism seems to heighten the differences, it only makes sense that you'd have to run counter to egalitarianism to reduce them. So the LIPA study here, where there's an association between the UN indices of gender equality and gender differences in agreeableness, I think that was 500,000 people. So the internet has made it possible to run huge samples. Now, here's some interesting things too. The occupational preferences between men and women are actually a lot larger than the personality differences. And the occupational differences are large and like the gender differences in personality, the occupational preference differences increase as you move towards more egalitarian societies. So the big difference between women and men seems to be that women prefer working with people and men prefer working with things. Now, it's an interesting way to look at it because for a long time, you know, if you're thinking about sexist stereotypes, say up to the 1950s, maybe a little later than that, maybe up to the mid-60s or so, the idea would have been that whatever gender differences there were in occupational skill, in occupational distribution would have had more to do with skill. That was so that, you know, men were more skilled, say, at engineering and women were less skilled at it. But what seems to be the case is that if you look at the basic predictors of success, like intelligence and conscientiousness, there's virtually no gender differences at all. Now, so what that seems to mean is that the reason that there are occupational differences, at least in egalitarian societies, is because the occupational differences are driven by choice, not by ability. Now, that's something to think about, you know, because again, that seems to indicate that if you're going to push hard against gender preferences, what you have to do, in some sense, is restrict the degree to which people's choices determine their occupational outcomes. And, you know, once again, it's not exactly clear that you'd like to live in a society that would do that. I mean, unless you think that precise equality across every dimension in terms of occupational, the number of men and the number of women in each occupation is such an important index that it actually trumps what people as individuals actually want to do when you allow them free choice. So the big difference is, and it's one standard deviation, so to be as interested in things as the typical man, the typical woman would have to be more interested in things than 85% of women. And to be more interested in people than things, to be more as interested in people as the typical woman, a man would have to be more interested in people than 85% of men. Now, that's starting to become a very large difference. Now, there's other differences, too. This is using the Holland categories. Holland is a very well-renowned industrial organizational psychologist, and he divided jobs into these six categories: realistic, investigative, artistic, social, enterprising, and conventional. And what you see is that men show stronger realistic and investigative interests. The realistic category is particularly big. It's 8/10 of a standard deviation. And women show strong artistic, social, and conventional interests. And there was no gender difference at all in the degree to which people preferred enterprising occupations. So here's from a different study from Psychological Bulletin, looking at there's this phenomena that people are quite upset about, especially in the U.S., although it's also an issue in Germany, that women are underrepresented in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics dimensions. And so, but if you look at the interests of men and women, you see under men that men are 1.1 standard deviation more likely to be interested in engineering and
3/4 of a standard deviation to be more interested in math, science, and 3/10 of a standard deviation more interested in math. Now that has, again, that has nothing to do with ability. So, you know, for, there is some evidence, although it's really highly disputed, and the evidence, I think, keeps going back and forth, that men are better at spatial rotation, and that seems to be linked to testosterone. Like I said, this idea has been attacked very heavily. There's also some evidence that if you look at the intelligence distribution of men and women, that the women's distribution is a little higher peaked and a little less wide. And what that means is there's far more men who fall into the extremely intellectually impaired category, and that sort of seems to go along with the fact that the vast proportion of children in school who are in trouble are boys, but they're also overrepresented at the extreme upper end of the continuum. So the male distribution is flattened, and the people who believe that, well, it's typical in animal communities, mammalian communities, for there to be more variability among the men. So, because men are expendable fundamentally, and so in some sense the species can take a bigger chance with variability, even though the means remain the same. Now, that was what Larry Summers was referring to. He was a president of Harvard, when he suggested that there might be intellectual differences between men and women that in part accounted for the differences in STEM prevalence. And he just got roasted for that. In fact, I think they fired him, which was really unfair, I thought, because he was just referring to a study. He wasn't making a claim that that was his opinion. But we can put that aside for the time being. It doesn't look like you need to invoke an intellectual capacity explanation to account for the underrepresentation. You can just see that the interests diverge. Now, you know, you could attribute that to stereotypes and so forth, but then you run up against the problem that the differences are bigger in the countries that have done the most to eradicate the stereotypes. So I don't really see how that hypothesis can survive. As far as I'm concerned, it's just been proved wrong in the last 10 years. The gender differences are not primarily cultural. So,
all right, so interesting. And so if we accepted that men and women were different instead of this continual propaganda campaign to say that everybody is the same, what would the difference be? And I think there would be less pressure on women to go out and have jobs. And, you know, there's a big movement in a big part of feminism that is just a, really, it's a statement that people need to be self-centered and selfish, women do, to become self-actualized, I guess the phrase would be. Anyway, here's a little Nate Bargatze stand-up from Jimmy Fallon.
Very nice. All right. So my last name is Bargatze. I know nothing about the history of my family. I've never, like, really looked into it. So I asked a great uncle, told me a pretty wild story. We had a guy in our family that got murdered, actually, by a sickle, like the thing the Grim Reaper carries. And this was like the 1800s, too, just so you don't have to feel. It's not a recent story. We're over it as a family. So the guy, it was his own fault, too. The guy's nickname, they called him Two Thumbs Bargatze. And the reason they called him that was because he had two thumbs on one hand, but still had the other thumb. So not even a good nickname. I'm Two Thumbs Bargatze. Everybody but him is Two Thumbs Bargatze. He's the only not two thumbs we've ever had in the history of our family. So I can say he was a troublemaker. Two Thumbs, he was hooking up with this guy's wife. So he's at her house. He leaves. The neighbor sees him. He gives him two thumbs, one hand up, you know. And the neighbor's like, all right. The husband gets home. The neighbor was like, hey, your wife's cheating on you with this dude. And he was like, who's the guy? And he was like, I don't know his name, but he had two thumbs on one hand, if that helps. And, you know, the guy was like, that helps a lot. I didn't know you were going to be that specific. So I know exactly who it is. So Two Thumbs was at home. This is all what I was told. He was at home. He was gardening. He was extra good at gardening. And he's sitting there. He's gardening. And the sickle's there. And then he kills him. He kills him with it. And that's it. That's basically it. But here's the lesson. All right, guys. The lesson is, if you're doing something shady, that's not the time to stand out. You know, like, you don't want to be different then. Put your dumb hand in your pocket. If I had three legs and was going to rob a bank, I'm going to be the getaway driver. I'm not going to gallop in the bank with all three legs. Just blend in. That's the real message. Just don't stand out. Just blend in. Sometimes you can't help it, though. I've had it where I was getting coffee, and I like iced coffee with milk. Nothing crazy. And I went to order it. You know when you order something and the guy looks at you weird and you're like, I'm pretty sure he doesn't know what I just said. But you're both touching the credit card, so you're just too far into it. And you're like, all right, let's see what he thinks he heard. And I go to the end of the counter to get my drink, and he gives me milk with ice in it. I had to ask him. I was like, what is that? He's like, it's milk with ice in it. And I was like, do I look like a psycho to you, dude? I've never drank milk publicly in the history of my life. I've never once in my life been in public and thought, you know what I could go for right now? I'd like a cup of milk. I'd like a cup of milk. I'd like to drink it out of a clear cup so other adults know exactly what I'm drinking. And I was also wondering if you could put a straw in it, something I haven't done in maybe 35 years, and I thought we should do that again right now. And I was wondering if you could put milk in it and ice, and then, you know, that's something that I don't know if you're allowed to do, but I would like to try that now in front of all these people that I've never met before. The bad part about this is it's happened twice, all right? And, the first time, you know, that's a lot. It's a lot for it to happen. And the second time, you start looking at yourself. You start thinking, like, I don't know. I don't know if I know how to order. I'm not ordering correctly, you know? I thought it was going to happen a third time. There was a third time, and she put the drink down. I was like, this is unbelievable. I was like, they're against me. But she just put too much milk into it. And she told me that. It was a very honest moment. She, like, set it down. We're both looking at it. And she just was like, it feels like a lot of milk, doesn't it? And I was like, just looked at it. And I was, was like, not as much as usual, but it does feel like a lot. All right. Thank you guys so much.
All right. So thanks for tuning in today. Enjoyed hanging out with you. Sorry about the bad news. Like I said, it's like, what do they call it? It's not euphemisms. It's when they're putting you out of your misery. Euthanasia. It's like a euthanasia meeting with Casey counts. But that's reality. The show format flipping over on the first day of the next month. So let's make the most of our time. 7:59. Have a great day, Kelly O'Connell. And meet you back in 2 days. Meet you back in 2 days. Have a wonderful weekend. Ciao.
I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. And if it snows, the stretch down south won't ever stand straight. And I need you more than want you. And I want you for all time. And Wichita Line.